one day when I was listening to or watching on television one of these reality singing shows. I don't know if it was The Voice or was it British Idol. But the person, the contestant, was singing a song called 7 Years. Now, I love the beginning of the piano piece that was played, and I enjoyed the tune, but the lyrics, I heard bits and pieces, but I wasn't quite sure of the words. But then when I began to hear it over and over again, I understood that the songwriter was taking us through the journey of his life. 7 years was significant in his life cycle. It was when things began for him. It was the stage in his life that was very important. In his life, his hopes and his dreams, he saw that he wanted to actualize these things in the future. He has goals, the singer says, and he doesn't believe in failure. He believes that in the midst of harshness, there is always hope. He goes on to say that he also learned in life that he needed people. The people surrounded him, and it was his father that gave him the strength and guided him along the journey. No, St. Andrews, I know what you're saying. Is this a religious song? And how dare you talk about a secular song from a wall place as the pulpit? I'm just telling you what I heard on television, okay? This song as I read the passage in Luke's gospel. When Jesus was at a critical stage in his life, that it was important to mark the stage of a Jewish boy. At 3 years old, it was an important stage in his life. At 3 years old, a Jewish young man was weaned. It was at the time when he wore his first fringe or tassel on his garment, as prescribed in the Numbers, the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter. This is a stage that the education began under his mother's care. At 5 years old, another stage is marked is when he learns the law. At 12 and 13 is critical in this life cycle of a Jewish young man. It is at 12 years old he became directly responsible to the obedience of the law. Scholars say that Jesus went to the festival with his parents, and it was at the festival that he turned 13 years old. At 13 is a time when he began to wear the tefillin. This is in the obedience to the commandments, to bind the commandments as a sign on your arm and on your forehead. It was something that they wore on their forehead according to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. It showed, it was a thing that they wore that they had the Ten Commandments in there. It was recited, the prayers were recited as they wore it as well. Our text opens letting us know that every year his parents observed their faith tradition by traveling to Jerusalem. It says when he was 12 years old, they went to the festival according to the customs. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus traveled for the 3 annual festivals as we saw in the book of Exodus. As I said earlier, this marked an important time in the life of Jesus. He became responsible for his life, the understanding of his actions, and the consequences of them. He was no longer a child, and the parents took responsibility. But according to the Jewish faith, he was no longer a child. This was a time that he was going to be a man. The observation of a festival was important in the life of Israel. We understand this from the text that we read this morning, that they traveled in a company, they called it, or in a caravan, in a large group. And what would happen in this caravan, that they would stop at nighttime and go to sleep. And they would do this, and they would travel, I'm sorry, in the daytime. They would travel by night because it was so hot during the day. Now, this is important to understand because we need to know the danger of traveling to Jerusalem.
It was at nighttime the thieves came out, especially during the festive season. Now this reminds me of during the festive season in Nairobi, and we have what I call opportunistic crime. Thieves know that people are traveling up country to their homes, so they take advantage of that, and they alleviate us from the burden of carrying that money with us, and they take it. There is much danger, my friends, in traveling on the road to Jerusalem. We recall the parable of what happened to the Good Samaritan when they were stripped of their clothes, brutally beaten, and left to die on the roadside as they traveled along. The Old Testament is full of stories of what happens when you travel by night. So therefore, in most cases, they stop in someone's house and spend the night. The text tells us that Jesus was separated from his parents for 3 whole days. Akino and I went shopping at Diamond Plaza the other day. As I was about to leave, I was getting in my car, and I heard the voice of a woman screaming to the security guard, tears rolling down her face, and she was in panic mode. She said to the guard, "Help me. I've been looking all over the place, and my child is lost." Immediately, I felt the pain of the mother. I said to Aitiano, "Oh no, do you know what could happen? This is not good." My mind went to all the horrific things that could have taken place. I was frozen in thought, my friends. Should I be part of the search committee or just drive away? A few minutes later, a soldier came carrying the little girl. The girl did not seem as if she had any care in the world. She was laughing and enjoying herself of being carried. She didn't understand the gravity of what could have happened. Perhaps she felt that she was in a familiar place, that she came with her mother once a week to do shopping, so she could just roll around. It was okay. She had a look on her face as if to say to her mother, "What's up with that worried look on your face, Uncle Sarah?" What happened next was something that I could relate to, because it was the same reaction of what my great-great-grandmother would have done. My grandmother would have done it, and yes, my friends, I too would have done it. The mother pinched the little girl, and she properly whacked her. Now, my friends, I'm not advocating corporal punishment, but do you understand, I would have pinched her just because she made my blood pressure go up. I would have whacked her just because she did not listen and stay by my side. Now, I'm not advocating corporal punishment, okay? Now I can imagine the thoughts that went through the minds of Jesus' parents when they could not find him in the usual places. At night, when the caravan was walking, it is not unusual for children to walk with their cousins and their friends and enjoy themselves. But by day, when they stopped and rest, Jesus should have come to his parents to have a meal or to check in. I can imagine the emotions and the fear that went through the head of Mary and Joseph. Could my son Jesus be the victim of the roadside thieves? Perhaps the thought that crossed their mind was that Jesus was at a critical age in his life. Now, could he have decided that the way of the thief was more tantalizing and exciting? While young Jewish boys wore robes with tassels, when they became the age of responsibility, they were commanded to wear the tisseling on their heads, their foreheads. But I can imagine the thieves wore robes that were the best robes around. I'm sure their sandals were the best sandals. And when they moved along with the crowd, they looked like they were the coolest men in the group. All the Jewish young girls, perhaps in the caravan, might have giggled when they walked by, or when they rode by in their pimped-up donkey. Now, I know parents, you may not understand what I mean by a pimped-up donkey. There's a picture that's called Pimp My Ride, and that's your young child or your grandchild to show you the picture on television. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Now, this is the first lesson in our text this morning. As we journey in life, we have those who nurture us, those who care for us, those who look out for our good. But there are also those who journey alongside us in life, that they are not necessarily looking out for our good, but they're looking for an opportunity to beckon us to join them. Their intentions are not the good for us. They want to glamorize thievery. They want to make us think that the right that we're doing is wrong and the wrong that they're doing is right. Are you with me, St. Andrews? Jesus, if you want to be cool like us, you want to hang out with us, forget about the teaching of your faith and the cultural principles that guide you in your life. They want to entice us to be negative, seduce us into thinking that everything that they do is right. In the midst of a moment of panic Mary and Joseph might have had, they heard a still, small voice deep inside telling them that they transmitted memory to Jesus throughout his life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I know after the vacation, some of us might still be in vacation mode and wish you were back on holiday, Mombasa, Dubai, or wherever. But do you understand what I'm talking about? Transmitted memory. Jesus had this transmitted memory that was given to him at every stage of his life. Not just Mary and Joseph alone, but it was reinforced by their family members. The trip took to on the observance of the festival in Jerusalem was not just an ordinary road trip. It was a time when Jesus was becoming a young man. It was a time that they remembered and commemorated when God brought them out of Egypt. This is one of the memories that was carefully transmitted to each generation. Parents, grandparents, have we stopped celebrating our story of who we are? Young men and young women that are in the congregation, when your parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles tell you a story that perhaps they have told you before, do you cut them off and say, you told me that before? And listen with impatient ears? I know about the emergency, and I know what you did, and I know the role you played. I know, you had a food shortage, and you didn't have much to eat, and yes, you had to walk to school. Yes, you've told me that before. I have to go out now. My friends, young people that are in this congregation, you have missed an important part of the transmission of memory. After a while, when memory is transmitted, it takes root, and it becomes a part of your story. When you hear the story and your parents and grandparents transmit the memory of times go by, that story is not just about them, but it's about you as well. The transmission of memory was the foundation of the faith of Jesus. When we think about our blessings as parents, we want to trace it back to the here and now. Do you see the house that I bought over there? Do you see the car that I drive? Do you see the bank account that I have now? When I go to sleep happy because of my bank account. That is the here and the now. We don't convey to our children an and historical understanding of their faith journey. Now I know time is going, but I want to take my time with this point because we transmit selfish understanding, but you and I cannot take the credit of where we are now. The foundation of our faith is the God that moves in the world throughout all ages. Do you know that song, that hymn, "Oh God, I Help in Ages Past"? You see, that hymn talks about the God that was with us in ages past. It is that God that is with us in the hope to come. When I can't see my way through in life, when things get so difficult, when I face an impossible situation, I'm reminded of Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened. And all the years that the children of Israel stayed in Egypt, and it looked when Moses came as if it was an impossible situation. But my friends, God stepped in, and God moved the impossible, and God turned that into a possibility. My mind moves to when Daniel and the Hebrew boys were in the lion's den. They refused to compromise their faith and bow down to the king. They were willing to give up their position and die for what they believe in. God stepped in that impossible situation and close the mouth of a lion. This is the God of history, as well as the God of present, as well as the God of our hopes in times to come. This is the transmitted memory that I'm talking about. We and I are not self-made people. Whoever we are, we have a history. It is because there are so many people who spoke into our lives, who touched us. I remember when I was talking to one of our members in the church, and she was telling me about when she was over the brigade and how she was with some of the young women and how proud she is of what the young ladies have become today. That is to say that she spoke into their lives and she touched their lives. The transmission of memory is critical in the life of our young people. Yes, Jesus' parents had a temporary moment of inhaling. Their breath might have been taken away by the fear of what could have happened to their child. But they knew that they gave him a foundation of the faith throughout each stage of his life. They gave him a cultural upbringing of a Jewish young boy who was rooted in a faith tradition. And that caused them to exhale with ease. If I were to guess, I'm sure it was Joseph that was steaming. Mary, you see what your son has done? He's run off. I don't know about your household, but in my household, when something good happens, it becomes my husband's children. But when something happens that is not good and negative, it's your child. Go tell your child, whatever it may be. Joseph was steaming. Mary, it's because of you. But Mary said, honey, don't worry. Jesus is all right. I feel it in my spirit. Now, parents, if I were to say something else, well, that would be another quote in my sermon. We need to begin to allow God to speak to our spirit. There's something about God speaking to our spirit and letting us know that that son and that daughter is going to be okay. Why? Because we've transmitted to him or her the faith that would guide them throughout the rest of their lives. I know some of our young children are going to boarding school, or they've already gone. Some of them are going to universities here in Kenya as well as abroad. Some of us may feel anxious about this, but parents, don't panic. If you have given your sons and daughter the transmission of the memory, throughout their life, this will carry them. I was reading about the import of the transmission of the faith in an article. And they said that there are three people who are critical in the life of a child. Parents play a critical role. The youth leader in the church, including the Sunday school leaders, the brigade leaders. Funny, my fellow pastor, Reverend Kirk, they didn't mention us as ministers. I don't know why. They also said the child having an adult in their life that knows them by name, that prays for them and encourages them. That adult becomes an ear for the young child. I'm talking about the transmission of memory is critical in the life of a child. Our text tells us it was 3 days later that Mary and Joseph traveled back to Jerusalem and traced their steps and finally find Jesus sitting in the temple. Now this was an unlikely place to find Jesus, and I'm not sure why they even thought about going to the temple. But Jesus was sitting at the feet of the teachers and the learners. He sat amongst the teachers. When his parents found him, they scolded him. And Jesus' response that he was about his father's business. Now I want us to hold this thought because I'll get back to it in a few minutes. All the teachers that was with Jesus saw that Jesus went through the stages of his life. He was not just a parrot that repeated what he heard. He was not just mocking what he saw adults say and do. But Jesus had a deep understanding of the faith. Now parents, they say that there are many theories of how we learn. But there's one writer that says that we must learn in a significant learning. And when we have significant learning, that's when what we're taught becomes a part and parcel of who we are. That is when it changes our behavior. Jesus' behavior was changed. His understanding of the teaching was changed. And it's then when we're able to now, our faith walks in action. We come to church Sunday after Sunday. We can recite the Ten Commandments. We know the Bible perhaps by heart. Now that is brain knowledge. But yet it is not knowledge that's pumping through our veins and causing us to act on that knowledge. When a significant knowledge takes place, we're able to integrate it in all that we do. They say that when Jesus was sitting amongst the Wazes and the Walimos, is it Walimos? Yeah? Sorry, can you say that? Oh, okay. When he was sitting amongst them, they were transported in astonishment. Do you understand what that means? They were so fixated on what he had to say. It was so important to them. Now, these were the best scholars in the world, that they became transported in astonishment and struck with admiration. Jesus condemned the religious hypocrisy. Bear the large tifflings on their head demonstrated how spiritual they were. Wearing tassels on their garments that were larger than life to show that they were more pious than other people. What Jesus was demonstrating was that no matter how much you wear the garments, no matter how much you have it on your head and on your arm, if it's not in your heart, it will never change anything. My final point, and I'm really rushing through my sermon. I want to know, where are you going and how are you getting there? It's important to know where you're headed to in life. Jesus responded to his parents, "Don't you know that I'm about my father's business?" This was not an act of disobedience, but he knew where he was going. He knew that he was at the age of responsibility. Where are you going? book of Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future." We're on a journey of life, and God has plans for each and every one of us. But the plans is that we are called to be a part of the family business. When I first came into the country 30 years ago, and I would introduce myself to someone and I'd say, "What's your name and what do you do?" And when they would say to me, "I'm in business," that kind of threw me off, because it wasn't specific enough. What does that mean, Emily? Do you grow flowers? Are you a farmer? Or do you sell clothes? "I'm in business," they would say. And they would just clam up. I didn't understand what that meant. But my brothers and sisters, we are invited to be in the family business of Jesus. What does that mean? We're a part of the church of God. And to be a part of the church of God, we are a part of the family business. You all have a responsibility in the family business. In order for the family business to run, we need your contribution. I'm not necessarily talking about finance. I'm talking about your contribution. Whatever role that God has called you to play to help the family business grow, God is calling you to take up that role. This is a brand new year. We have to stop sitting back saying, "Let the deacons take care of it. Let the elders do it. Let the ministers do it." You see, the family ministers and the family business is not made of only deacons and elders and ministers, but the family business is made of you and I. What is your job responsibility, and what are you going to take up and do? What is your contribution? Jesus understood that this was a part of his faith journey. And you and I are called not to wear the tassels of being a member of St. Andrew's on our arms or on our head. But it needs to be in the heart, and like Jesus, who said, "I came to make all things new again. Behold." Jesus came to do things in a different way. To be a part of the family business is not to do the same thing that your great-great-great-grandfather did, but yet to do things differently. What difference did he do? All commandments were empowered by the traditional habits, that the way they were done. The new commandments are empowered by our dependence on God's power. This is the way Jesus did it. This is what Jesus meant when he wanted us to be, when he said that he was a part of his Father's business. I'm about to close down, and I'm really rushing through the sermon. This will be a part one and a part two. But my friends, to be a part of God's family business, we have to take courage. We have to be confident. And we have to have conversation with the CEO of the family. Who is the CEO of the family? It is God. Jesus said to have conversation with God means to be in a relationship with God. So we're being called to be in a relationship with God. The journey that you and I take is a destination that God has given us. It requires that we carry with us a transmitted memory of the faith of our history of who we are. It requires that we understand the faith, not in the way to say I can recite scriptures, but an understanding of the faith to say that I live out the word of God. I become a working example of God's word. My friends, I invite you on this new year. I think we're about the third Sunday into the new year, to take your place in the family business in a new way. In a way so that when we look back on next year, we can say of what I contributed to the family business that God has called me into. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Loving God, we're so grateful. We're first of all, God, grateful to see a brand new year. We're grateful, oh God, for this family Sunday to be with our grandchildren and our children and our nieces and our nephews and children of our friends. We are like that caravan, oh God, that went to the festival, oh God, understanding that we're a part of the family of God. But God, we must admit, as parents, we have stopped transmitting the memories that we need to transmit that gives our children a stable faith. As aunties and uncles, we don't want to talk about the old time stories, but we want to let children know how modern we are and how like them we are. And we fail, dear God, to give them what is so important in their life. Lord God, we come on this day, first of all, thanking you for bringing us here. Thanking you once again. I know we've said many words of thank you for the brand new year, but thanking you for this year, oh God. Thanking you for the families that are here. Help us, oh God, to understand that we have a role in the family business and help us to understand what that role is. Help us, oh God, to understand that our salvation, Lord God, is not a full stop, but it's a journey. Help us to take that journey of faith that you called us to. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.